Yeah, but if it's... Hello and welcome back to this week's episode of Current Events. I'm Andrew Fluentieri, here with my co-host Andy Garcia and a special guest, Sinash Aramillo. Today we will be discussing the serious and unfortunately real problem of the Syrian refugee crisis. On today's episode, we'll be going over a number of things, including the vetting process of refugees and some facts about the Syrian civil war.
We also have some interviews from people who have escaped the civil war and came here to the USA to gain refugee status and become citizens.
But before that, we have a word from our sponsor.
Today's sponsor is Red Cross. Go to the Red Cross page to donate today because they serve with humanity towards peace.
Welcome back. Up first is Specialist Sinash Aramillo. Hello.
Hello there. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Now, as an expert on the Syrian civil war, I have some questions for you. How did the civil war begin?
Well, the civil war began because there were pro-democratic citizens who were against the way President Bashar al-Assad ruled the country. The president started to use violence to end the protests that had started. By 2012, the conflict expanded into a full-fledged civil war.
Wow. Now, how was the president leading that led the protests to start?
So the president was using the tactics that his father had placed, which was censorship, which would ban any type of resistance against his reign, and brutal violence against his opponents.
It sounds very serious.
It is.
My next question is, when did the people start fleeing from Syria?
Well, I'm not sure when exactly, since some may have left earlier, but it's thought that it started in 2012 to flee the bombing.
One last question. How can our fellow listeners out there help out the Syrian refugees?
Our listeners can donate to our sponsor, the Red Cross, who helps out refugees and people in need. Also, you can petition to Congress to increase government funding for Syrian refugees and start a campaign.
Thank you, Mr. Jaramillo. Next up, Andy is interviewing a refugee, and our translator is Mr. Jaramillo. Andy?
Thanks again, Andrew. I'm here with Vaz Ashar, a refugee from Syria. My question is, why did you leave?
If I stay here in Syria any longer, I'm sure I will be killed, or my life will be threatened. I didn't think about what would happen next. I just said, that's it. I have to get out. And so we left.
What did your mom think about this?
I told my mother I had to leave. She asked why. I said I have a choice. She wanted to provide me with protection. It's not just me. Any other man would have faced being arrested or killed. She said, it's no problem. Where do you want to go?
How did you get away from Syria and what happened?
There were people in charge of assisting those traveling to Jordan. I spoke with them about my wife and I wanting to leave for Jordan. He told me that's no problem. The next day, at about 7 a.m., there would be a car near my home. The street my home was on couldn't have cars because there was a government checkpoint that closed the area. We walked toward the car, and when we reached it, within 5 minutes or less, we faced the missile. There was a building that protected us.
What was it like boarding the plane for the first time?
Boarding the plane in Jordan, fear set in. Fear of the future, fear of the plane. It was my first time riding a plane until I arrived in the city of Dallas.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp. Back to you, Andrew.
Thanks, Andy. And a special thanks to our guest, Tanash, for translating.
No problem.
Now, what Mr. Shahara didn't tell you was how long it took to get in the U.S. So now we're going to go over what steps that it takes, and it's a pretty long list.
Yeah, that's right. It's very strenuous and hard to get into the U.S. as a Syrian refugee.
Especially since there can be 20 steps. So let's start with the first one, which is that they need to register with the U.N.
Yeah, well, that's probably a lot of paperwork.
It probably is.
No kidding.
The next step is to get an interview with the UN to kind of state their case to the UN, which is pretty smart because you need to know something about them. And the next step would be to have their refugee status granted from the UN.
The UN is a big role, I guess.
Well, yeah, there's actually a branch of the UN called the UNHCR that's responsible for all of this.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and probably extremely helpful.
So the fourth step is that to get a referral to be resettled in the U.S. is that where we're going to.
And an interesting thing to think about is that refugees spend years in refugee camps, and the amount that get referred is only 1% of those refugees.
So what's the next step?
Well, the refugees need to have another interview, this time with the State Department contractors.
Then they'll have to get the first background check. The way they say the first makes me feel like there's a lot, but you...
I agree. And looking at some of the next steps, it states that there's a higher background check for some. And I'm not sure why they would do that, though.
Yeah, I think there are a number of things that are going into it. But get this, the next step is another background check.
That's actually a lot of background checks. Thankfully, the next step isn't a background check. It's just a fingerprint scanning, and they get their picture taken. What's the next two steps, Andy?
It's just more fingerprint IDs, but the 12th step.
Well, we're more than halfway through now.
Like I was saying, is the 12th step is the refugee case is reviewed by the U.S. Immigration HQ, and some of them get referred to more removing.
This is why it takes sometimes 2 years. And also, the next step is, and I quote this, it's an extensive in-person review with a Homeland Security officer. That sounds like a long step, and... hopefully there are more easier steps so that they can come.
I guess since it's simply getting approval from that officer.
I guess that's easier, and hopefully they're pretty nice and understand the situation.
A lot of these steps are really smart, like the next one, which is where you get tested for diseases.
Yeah, you wouldn't want them getting sick, and they need medical treatment because of radiation from bombs. And the next step is another check, but it's a security check. And what's the last check, Andy?
A final security check.
Oh, so as you can see, there's a rigorous process and only 50% pass. That's all we have for today. Thanks for listening, and I wish we could talk more, but that's all the time we have for today. Tune in next week when we interview Fayez Al-Shara again and others.
And a special thanks to the New York Times, KPCC, Caritas, Asylum Access, Encyclopedia, Brit Anika, Gale Group, and the last but not least, World Vision.
And a final thanks to Red Cross for sponsoring us.